Turn, if you would, this morning to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we're going to read the first 11 verses. It says, "Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and they were gathered at Socah, which belongs to Judah, and they camped between Socah and Azekah and Asphim and Damim. Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up in battle array to encounter the Philistines. The Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, while Israel stood on the mountain on the other side with the valley between them. Then a champion came out from the armies of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was clothed with scale armor, which weighed 5,000 shekels of bronze. He also had bronze greaves on his legs and a bronze javelin slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and the head of his spear weighed 600 shekels of iron. His shield carrier also walked before him. And he stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel and said to them, 'Why do you come out to draw up in battle array? Am I not the Philistine and you servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will become your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall become our servants and serve us.' Again the Philistine said, 'I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together.' And when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid." And now let's skip down and read verses 22 through 26. It says, "Then David left his baggage in the care of the baggage keeper and ran to the battle line and entered in order to greet his brothers. As he was talking with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine from Gath, named Goliath, was coming up from the army of the Philistines, and he spoke these same words, and David heard them. And when all the men of Israel saw the man, they fled from him and were greatly afraid. The men of Israel said, 'Have you seen this man who is coming up? Surely he is coming up to defy Israel. And it will be that the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel.' And then David spoke to the men who were standing by him, saying, 'What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God?'" I want to talk for just a minute this morning about the unconquerable foe. We see, of course, in this story that Goliath has come out from the army of the Philistines and has challenged the army of the Israelites, and Saul and everyone with him shrank away in fear. But then David, a boy, just a shepherd, who was bringing supplies to his brothers at the battle, heard Goliath's challenge and was upset that no one else would answer. "For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God?" And of course, we know this famous story, but if we think about some elements of it, Goliath is a great man of war, a great man of battle, a giant, over 9 feet tall, with armor all over his body, and a legendary, large, and dangerous sword. And who would go up against him? A shepherd boy who had spent time defending the sheep with absolutely no military training, and the weapon that he chooses to fight with is not really even, wouldn't have at that time really been considered too much of a military weapon. David, of course, had tried on Saul's armor before facing Goliath in battle, but the armor was too big and too heavy, which of course further illustrates the point that he was just a boy. But of course, we know that David knew God was on his side. We go on down. Let's read the famous verses of verse 40 through 51. Speaking of David, it says he took his stick in his hand and chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag which he had, even in his pouch, and his sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. Then the Philistine came on and approached David with the shield-bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy with a handsome appearance. And the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine also said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field." And then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. This day the Lord will deliver you up into my hand, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you. And I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." And then it happened when the Philistine rose and came and drew near to meet David, that David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand into his bag and took from it a stone and slung it. And it struck the Philistine on his forehead. And the stone sank into his forehead so that he fell on his face to the ground. Thus David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. And he struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in David's hand. We see that David did indeed defeat the unconquerable foe. You know, one thing that it doesn't really address is kind of a key question, which is, was David afraid? The biblical account does not really tell us. But I think that we kind of know the answer. Goliath was a giant who was over 9 feet tall. He had a whole bunch of armor. He had all of these terrible weapons of war. We know, of course, that David, when he was with the sheep, had defended the sheep by killing the lion and the bear. But the Bible doesn't tell us if he was afraid then either. But again, David had to fight a lion and a bear. And he was just a boy. So I think that it's a real possibility and probably true that David did indeed feel fear, that he was afraid. But he didn't let that fear stop him. Because David realized in this fight against the lion and in the fight against the bear and in the fight against Goliath that God was with him, telling Goliath, even, of course, that Goliath's fight wasn't with David, but it was with God. The fight was God's fight. And with the help of God, David, a small shepherd boy with a sling and a few stones, it really only took one, defeated a great giant and man of war, and defeated the unconquerable foe. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and look at verse 20 and 21. It says, "Therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him." When we think about defeating an unconquerable foe, we can think about David defeating Goliath, but we need to think about Jesus. For Jesus conquered sin, and as it mentions here, he knew no sin. Jesus lived life on earth as a man and did not sin. He conquered sin, the unconquerable foe, and lived a perfect life. We know that he was tempted by the devil in the desert, but he defeated each test of the devil with a simple scripture and the instruction finally of "Get behind me, Satan." Jesus conquered sin, even though in his life he was betrayed by one closest to him. He was beaten, he was scourged, he was unjustly tried, and eventually crucified. And yet through all of those trials and all of those tribulations, he sinned not. Jesus was able to defeat sin. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we'll read verses 8 through 10. It says, "Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." Not only did Jesus conquer sin in his life, but Jesus also was able to conquer death. And of course, was raised victoriously from the tomb. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 2, and we'll read verses 14 and 15. "Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives." Let's turn back to Philippians chapter 2, and we'll read verses 5 through 11. "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, and those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Let's turn over to Romans chapter 6. And we'll read verses 8 through 11. Where Paul writes, "Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." And finally, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Understanding and realizing that Jesus did indeed, through his death and resurrection, defeat death and the devil. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 55 through 57, we read, "O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, the point of the unconquerable foe is that with God, there is none. Goliath made the children of Israel scared, and the armies of Saul scared, and they shrank away with fear. But a small boy who had a belief that God was with him and with the children of Israel was able to defeat that giant. Jesus, in his time on earth, defeated sin and defeated death. With God, all things, of course, are possible. We may not face giants in our life, but we will most certainly face sin and death. And we have to remember that Jesus was able to defeat those two things. He defeated sin with simple scriptures. Each time the devil tempted him with something, he responded with a simple scripture. And if Jesus can defeat sin in that fashion, then we, of course, can too. And if Jesus can defeat death, and since Jesus defeated death for all of us, we can too. If there's anything that we can do for anyone this morning to help them in any way, please let us know and come forward as we stand and as we sing.